Blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachung. Our text for reflection is John 7, 1 to 13. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No. He deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. My theme for reflection is whispered opinions, bold faith. Whispered opinions, bold faith. Have you ever noticed how everyone has strong opinions about the most trivial things? Whether it is pineapple on pizza, the superiority of one brand of tea over another, or which way the toilet paper roll should hang, we love to debate. People who squeeze toothpaste from the middle, why create chaos when order is possible? But today we are reflecting on opinions that matter far more than toothpaste etiquette. In John 7, we encounter a variety of views about Jesus. Some thought he was a good man. Others believed he was leading people astray. And still others sought to silence him entirely. These opinions reflect a larger truth. What we think of Jesus shapes everything about how we live. John 7 places us in a time of tension. Jesus' brothers are urging him to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths, a festival commemorating God's provision in the wilderness. But their advice is not born of faith. It is a challenge cloaked in cynicism. They are essentially saying, "If you are really who you say you are, prove it on the big stage." Their attitude is telling. Even Jesus' own family did not believe in him at this point. They misunderstood his mission, seeing it through a lens of worldly ambition rather than divine purpose. It is a reminder that proximity to Jesus doesn't guarantee understanding or faith. In the public sphere, opinions about Jesus are equally divided. The crowds whisper about him. "He is a good man," some say. Others counter, "No, he is leading people astray." The religious leaders, driven by fear and pride, are plotting his death. Jesus Christ remains a polarizing figure even today. Some view him as a moral teacher, a good man whose words inspire. Others dismiss him as irrelevant or even dangerous. And then some understand him as he truly is, the Savior of the world. One striking detail in this passage is Jesus' insistence that his time has not yet come. He refuses to act according to human expectations or to seek approval from the crowd. Instead, he moves in step with God's sovereign plan, fully trusting the Father's timing. This challenges us. How often do we try to force outcomes or demand immediate answers? Jesus reminds us that faith involves surrendering our timeline to God's perfect plan. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, God does not give us everything we want, but he does fulfill his promises in his time and his way. There is a story about a young man who was searching for truth. He explored various philosophies and religions, but none satisfied his deep longing for meaning. One day he overheard a Christian friend praying with raw honesty, pouring out doubts and fears to Jesus. That moment shifted his perspective. He later said, "I realized that faith wasn't about having all the answers. It was about trusting the one who does." His opinion of Jesus changed, and so did his life. This is the power of seeing Jesus rightly. When we understand him as more than a good man, as the very Son of God who offers salvation, it transforms everything. My dear friends, John 7 forces us to confront a question that cannot be ignored. Who is Jesus to you? But this isn't a matter of detached speculation. It is a question that demands a response from the deepest part of our lives, one with eternal consequences. How we answer it shapes our faith and the essence of how we live. If Jesus is merely a historical figure, a wise teacher, or a moral guide, our faith will lack the depth and power to transform us. But everything changes if we see him for who he truly is, the Messiah, the source of life and truth. Our choices, relationships, and purpose will be infused with his light. Yet here lies the tension. Many of us profess belief in Jesus but live as though he is only partially relevant, a background presence rather than the central force of our lives. We whisper his name in moments of need but hesitate to let his truth disrupt our routines or challenge our comforts. In this way, we resemble the crowds at the Feast of Booths, curious yet uncommitted, aware yet unwilling to stake our lives on the answer. But Jesus Christ does not permit half-hearted devotion. His call is uncompromising. Who do you say that I am? He invites us to a faith that is not casual or convenient, but complete, one that boldly proclaims, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what does your opinion of Jesus reveal about your relationship with him? Number two, how can you live more boldly as a reflection of your faith in Christ? Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, the Savior, and the light of the world. Forgive us for the times we have doubted or diminished your significance in our lives. Refine our hearts to trust you fully, and let our faith be evident in the way we live. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.